God's people are God's people wherever they are on the face of the earth. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. Even though we're part of a local congregation, we're really part of the body of Christ. And it is a spiritual union. It's not necessarily a physical union. And so we've come to the point in our church, and we've told you guys this before, and you know this, but the plant we've been worshiping in and has begun to fall apart on us. And we have no water in the back section. It would cost thousands and thousands of dollars to repair it. We have two heater air conditioners upstairs that are, number one, obsolete, but number two, leaking gas like crazy. So that's all been turned off. It would cost us tens of thousands of dollars to replace those and other things. The electrical is aluminum, which isn't bad necessarily if you only give it 50 years. After that, you know, best of luck. And we're beyond 50 years. And we've lost insurance on this building as far as protecting this building. Something could happen to it, and it's just going to be too bad because the insurance has pulled themselves away from it, as they have many churches in this country. I think insurance companies are starting to feel the heat with all these things happening to them, and so they've cut loose higher liability locations, and this is one of them, and which would cost us. Now, I'll say this one, estimated to replace all the wiring that we need, $250,000. And so the thought has been that it's just not what we should do with the Lord's money. It would be nice to continue here as God's people, but it just seems like I'm not saying it would be a waste of money on you. That wouldn't be true. But it would be the waste of the Lord's money that could be put into other places. Which is why at the very beginning, during announcements, Richard mentioned, if you want to fill out a form and tell us where you might like a portion of the sales, the money that we get from the sales of this property, please fill that in, because we want to give it. It's got to be a nonprofit. It's got to be a nonprofit related to our fellowship. And it could be a school. It could be a missionary. There are several different things that we could do. Or just another congregation. Cameron Road recently has sold their building. You know, they're not far from us. This congregation actually established that congregation many, many years ago. And they're living in a part of town where they've it's become a little bit on the dangerous side for them. But they've also a lot of members have moved elsewhere, and so they're relocating up to Hutto, and that might be a place where our congregation can help them out, or you might even go physically to be a part of that new congregation, which I know the preacher. I've known him ever since I came here. Something you don't know is that when I was living in Big Sandy, Sherman and I were thinking, we got to get out of this place. Isn't there a song? We got to get out of this place. But no, the church was great, but East Texas, not so great. And we wanted to come somewhere like Austin, and so we found a congregation. Cameron Road, it was actually advertised. So I sent them a tape and an application and didn't hear anything from them. Crickets, 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 you know. And sent one to this congregation and then just forgot about it. And I think about a year passed, and got a call from one of you guys, one of the elders here, and came and we've been here now 16 years. And it's the longest place we've been. We were 5 and 6 added together at, is it 5 and 6? 5 in Bethany, our first place, young family, great place to grow up, watch our kids grow up. And thank you. It's going to hurt. Okay, we're done. We really, Shirley and I and our family have really enjoyed being here. and other places. So we got about 10 minutes. If you would turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, and while you're doing that, 9 years in Big Sandy put together, 12 years in Auburn, and 16 here. And it's been good. Okay, Matthew 6. If you were to look at New York Times bestsellers, you'll find one that has to do with how to be successful. Oh, you won't just find one. You'll find many, because how to be successful is at the top of our list as a people, as human beings. All of us want to be successful. You don't want to be a failure if you had the 50-50. Which one do you want to be? Which one would you choose? Well, I want to be successful. But then you got to figure out, well, what kind of successful do you want, you know? And of course, the bestsellers say that we want it all and we want it now. That's a phrase you've probably heard before. And they say that the key is getting to know where you are and where you want to be. That's what they say. That's the key to being successful. You've got to know where you are, where you want to be, and then go for it. And that's the whole idea. Ben Stein said the indispensable first step to getting the things you want out of life is this: to decide what you want. And so these books are all about things like how to get it done, how to climb the ladder of success, how to make the most money, how to be the most successful. And most of these books are close to 400 or 500 pages long. And perhaps they give some good information for being successful. And it's good to be successful even in a material way, in the sense of taking care of yourself and your family and being able to share your success with other people. As long as that's their motive, it's not a selfish motive, perhaps that's all right. But they spend 400-plus pages telling us how to do that. And Jesus spent one sentence telling us how to be successful. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the key to success. It's the key to the success that God wants for you and me. See, He wants us to be successful. He wants us to have so that we can help others, surely. And there's some really false teachers out there telling everybody, God wants you to have a lot of money because God wants to have you a lot of money, and so let's worship money. That's not what I'm saying, and definitely not what Jesus says when He says that all these things will be added to you. He's talking about things like in the context... in verse 24 of Matthew 6, excuse me, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I would add, at the same time, you know, at all, really, is what Jesus would say. You cannot serve God and mammon. You just can't do it. And so I looked up this interesting little scripture in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 9, which says, do not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed. And he goes on to explain, God does through Moses, that you can then, by doing that, defile your vineyard. And it's the same thing with wanting God and then wanting mammon at the same time, physical success. Don't sow seed, two different types of seed in your vineyard. Stay only with seeking God. Seek first. Now, the word first is, as you might know, the Greek word protos, P-R-O-T-O-S, proto. We put it before prototype. We say something that's been designed, an aircraft or something, is a prototype. It's the first one. And it's used as looking for other things. So the word proto means first. numerically in time first, but it also means first in another way. And it means the most preeminent, the first, the protos, is what's at the top of the list. Seek ye at the top of the list the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we all have to ask ourselves, and listen, we're going to be imperfect at this, so don't feel guilty. Do we do that? Do we do that often enough? Do we seek the kingdom of God as what's at the top of the list? Seek ye first. Number one, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, this is quick because my outline is long and I can't do that with the time that's left. But I want to share with you three things that I think we can get from this that would be good to take home. The men who and the women who have written these bestsellers telling us how to be successful say to us, just you need to make, this is their first thought, you need to make good connections. Well, it's true, you've got to have good connections, they say, and to get along in this world and to get ahead in this world, you've got to make the right connections. Well, the Bible agrees with that as long as we apply it to where the connections are. We must make a connection with God as our primary thing in our life. Seek means, again, to keep on striving, to keep on seeking. And, of course, protos means to what's at the top of the list. You want to grow close to God as a Christian. You do. You do, right? You want to grow close to God. And that's easy to do because God's kind of a likable God, isn't He? He really is. The more you read your Bible and the more you think about what God has done, who wouldn't want to be close to God? And so that should be on your list. Seek first this connection with God. You know, how do you do it? Well, pray. Talk to God, right? Talk to God. And listen. God answers prayer in some ways. And perhaps it's through the Holy Spirit in your heart. You kind of understand things, you know. And that's probably happened, has it not, to you at times where you've kind of had this feeling. I don't think God's going to speak, you know. I think He does, but, you know, I don't want to get off in that charismatic kind of thing. At any rate, it's the choices that you make, you know, in your life, where you work, how you spend your time, how you spend your money even, or want money, how you who you make friends with. Those kind of things, it kind of help you to either connect with God, with others that are also connected with God, and your life in living with your family stuff is connected with God, or it's disconnected. You want to be connected. Connect to God by prayer, by being thankful to God, again, by listening, the silence, by reading your Bible. One thing I'm going to miss is spending a lot of time in the Bible. Don't think I'll miss it because I'm going to do it anyway. But sort of being made to, you guys made me to do this every week to teach several different lessons. Thank you. Because it's just been so good. Not for me, I mean for me, but you know, because it's good by itself. And that's why I say it's good for everybody. So spend your time in the Bible. Be honest with God when you pray. Someone said regarding these things that it's a rhythm. It's a relationship. It's moments, you know. So you got to have the right connection. And that's the connection we've got. Here's what other men say, these ones that write the bestsellers, that to be in control. That's it. Be in control, you know. Not only have the right connections, but be in control. Controlling person, somebody who just really charges right in and takes charge, is going to be successful, and other people are going to follow you, and you're going to be very successful. But what Jesus says through this when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, is that we must have the control of God in our lives. We must understand what the will of God is and do that. And as Paul has said in more than one place, find out what pleases God. And I would add, and do that. Find out what pleases God and do that. That's that letting God control your life. You remember the old saying, people made fun of it, but I think it was a good one. What would Jesus do? WWJD. You see a bumper sticker every once in a while. It still says that. What would Jesus do? Well, that's a good question, and it's something we ought to think about. When we put the kingdom of God first, we want to be like that, and we want to control, let God control us and the things that of God. And so it doesn't hurt to think, well, what would Jesus do in this occasion? And what would he do? And then you know by reading the gospel, Jesus, you know him. You also know, what would God do? We ought to change that one. What would Jesus do? What would God do? Well, we know what God would do. He's full of love. He's full of light, and he's going to do good for us, and he wants to do good for us. And the salvation that he offers us is not something that's hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thank God that is the real God we have. The other religions have weird gods, and they're not real gods. The real God is this God who said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. That's God. And so let God control you and glorify God in that, and ask him for guidance in your prayers. Guide my steps. Open doors for me that are good. Close doors for me that aren't good for me. And let God be your steering wheel. Number three, the bestseller folks say you're going to have a winning attitude. Not only are you going to have to be connected to the right people and really charge in and be in control, be a controlled person and control yourself, but you're going to have a winning attitude. Well, let's apply that to seek first. Jesus says we must develop the character of God in our lives. I already said God is love, God is light, so imitate that in your own life. Think about what would God do, what would Jesus do. But also read your Bible. You'll find in Galatians chapter 5 that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the right character. So God actually teaches us. You don't just have to watch me, he says, and figure out what it is that's moving me. I'm telling you, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is God. This is what God is like. Do you think that God is full of love? Do you think he's full of joy? I think he is. The fact that he gave us humor, that's a pretty good thing. And all the other things. And then let me just close with this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 8. It's still in this third thought. Peter says something similar to Paul from Galatians 5. This is 2 Peter chapter 1. He says, apply all diligence. Say that one again, folks. Apply all diligence. Be diligent about this. In your faith, supply moral excellence, moral goodness. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. And then he says this. I want you to take this personally. For if these qualities are yours and increasing. They render you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, boy, if that's not motivation, you know, add these things to you, and they're things that are simple for us. I mean, you know, they're challenging, but we grow in them. You're never going to be fully perfect in that. God would like for us to be perfect, but it's not really about perfection. It's about direction. And I want to grow in these things and be perfect in them. But since it's most likely going to be impossible to ever achieve that, that's all right. God just wants you to apply, add diligence, and grow in these kinds of things. That's how to be successful in the real way. The world's way isn't the right way. God's way is. And remember that as we close this out, Jesus says to you, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that you care about in life, of course good things, will be added to you. But the first priority is to seek God, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else take care of itself. And haven't you seen that happen in your life? I have. Thank God. I mean, and there are people that don't believe in God that do well in life, but you know what? They've surely got some thoughts that they're not fulfilled. And this is fulfilling. And that's, of course, why we've talked about it today. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have an invitation song. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for your will and your ways for all of us, and your desires for all of us to stay close to you, to seek your kingdom. And Father, give us the ability to do that, we ask. And remind us this week over and over again that this is what must be first in our lives. And we pray that it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.